Rabbi Lauren, and Shabbat Shalom, everybody. The parashas this Shabbat, it's a double parasha, are Tazria and Metzora, meaning when she gives birth, and concerning lepers. I've entitled the parasha Lepers and the Leper Messiah. It's going to cover Leviticus chapters 12 through 15. Now, the larger theme here is separation, distinguishing clean from unclean. And it's a bit ironic that this parasha, Rabbi Lauren, occurs while we find ourselves in a time of mandated isolation, not just of the sick, but of everybody. Now, in context, the necessary temporary isolation of individuals who were unclean had to do with the presence of a holy God in the midst of the camp of Israel. This would include a woman having given birth. Her time of impurity would last 7 days if she gave birth to a boy and 14 days if a girl. The time for her purification would be 33 days for a boy and 66 for a girl. Now, this doesn't mean that girls or boys were more valuable than girls. It has only to do with the time of purification. The equal worth of boys and girls is evident in that when her purification was complete, her offering at the tent of meeting was the same for a boy or a girl, a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a sin offering. Most of this parasha concerns leprosy, how it was distinguished from lesser skin blemishes, and laws about isolating those with leprosy from the community. Did you know that even articles of clothing, the fabric of tents, or even the walls of a house could be leprous? It was a chronic condition, which is why leprosy was associated with sin, and it explains why isolation from the community was necessary. Now, we've already seen the principle of separation or holiness in several forms in the book of Leviticus. Holiness, sacredness, things and people marked out by God for special purposes. But, you know, this morning, rather than focus on all the details about the tests for leprosy, cleansing from leprosy, and everything that needed to happen, let me instead highlight a few individuals in Scripture who had leprosy. I think we can learn something. Some were struck with leprosy as divine punishment, while others were healed from leprosy in acts of divine grace. First up, Miriam. In Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron complained about Moses having married an Ethiopian woman. Was that really so scandalous? Or was something else at work? Perhaps envy. Many scholars suggest that Aaron and Miriam had been harboring bitterness over their brother's greater stature. It isn't unusual for resentment to grow when one sibling's accomplishments surpass another's. Regardless the reason, their actions were inexcusable. God summoned the three of them out to the tent of meeting, rebuked Aaron and Miriam, and struck Miriam with leprosy. Aaron urged Moses to intercede for her, which Moses did. God answered that she should be isolated outside the camp for 7 days. And mercifully, that was the extent of her leprosy. Had Moses not interceded, Miriam might well have spent the rest of her days as a leper. But why only Miriam and not Aaron also? Well, she appears to have been the instigator. In one very unusual biblical construction, her name here appears before Aaron's, which lends support to the supposition. But the lesson is clear. God detests gossip and murmuring. Next up would be Naaman. In the days of Israel's divided monarchy during the reign of Joram in the north, the northern kingdom, and the ministry of the prophet Elisha, tensions were high between Israel and Syria, which was called Aram at that time. Syria made frequent incursions into Israel. And in 2 Kings 5, we meet a powerful Syrian military captain named Naaman. In paradoxical contrast to the king of Israel, whom the biblical writer regarded as unworthy, Naaman is described in illustrious terms, but he was a leper. Now, during one of Syria's many invasions, they captured a little Israeli girl, and she became a servant in Naaman's household. At one point, she tells them that the prophet in Israel could cure Naaman of his leprosy. Naaman, who undoubtedly had prayed many times and in vain offered countless sacrifices to the false gods of Syria, took that little girl at her word, went to Israel to seek healing. Eventually, he came to Elisha, who instructs him to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, though he initially balks at that suggestion because the Jordan River was not an especially lovely river, but eventually Naaman obeys Elisha, dips himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and is instantaneously and marvelously healed. He returns to Elisha the prophet to express thanks, declaring that for the rest of his life, he will worship only the God of Israel. He returned home to Syria, a changed man. All, by the way, thanks to a little Israeli girl who was able to love her enemy. Next up would be King Uzziah. This is in 2 Chronicles 26. You know, one of the signs of a good king in ancient Israel was the length of his reign. Stability was considered a sign of divine favor. Usually, wicked kings didn't rule very long. The northern kingdom Israel suffered frequent conspiracies and assassinations. Things were somewhat better in Judea, as evidenced by King Uzziah's 52-year reign. Imagine that. Scripture says that Uzziah sought God diligently during the days of the prophet Zechariah and grew powerful and famous. He successfully subdued enemies, fortified the walls of Jerusalem. He improved conditions throughout the country. His army was huge and well-equipped, but pride got the better of him. One day, Uzziah decided to go into the temple, bypass the priest, and offer incense on the altar himself. Well, he was a powerful king, but he was not a Kohen. He was not a priest. The priesthood was a God-ordained boundary that was not to be crossed. Uzziah crossed it, and God struck him on the forehead with leprosy. The priests rushed him out of there, and King Uzziah had to live out the rest of his days in isolation as a leper. His son Jotham reigned in his father's stead. Well, the lesson is clear. Don't cross God-given boundaries of holiness. Leprosy in the ancient world was considered a living death. To be a leper meant to be isolated from the community. Sometimes our people were hasty in presuming that someone with leprosy was under God's disfavor. We should be careful not to presume like that. Disease is a fact of life in a fallen world, not necessarily an indication of sin or a generational curse. People went out of their way to avoid lepers in those days. In fact, lepers were required to call out, "unclean, unclean," wherever they went, so that people would move out of their way, not find themselves downwind from them and become unclean too. It is important to bear this in mind when we discover in Matthew chapter 8 that Yeshua cleansed a leper by actually reaching out and touching him. He needn't have done that. Messiah could just as easily have performed that miracle with merely a word, but he intentionally touched the man. Had it been anyone else, the act of touching a leper would have rendered them unclean. But when Messiah Yeshua touched lepers, he didn't become unclean. They became clean. On another occasion, a group of 10 lepers pleaded for Yeshua to have mercy on them. Yeshua granted their request, telling them to go show themselves to the priest in accordance with the Torah. As they went, they were all instantaneously healed from their leprosy. Nine of them kept going. One, just one of them, came back and fell at Yeshua's feet in gratitude, glorifying God. And that one man was a Samaritan. Yeshua marveled at the ingratitude of the nine. Let me finish up with this. Concerning Yeshua himself, Isaiah wrote, "He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows," which is why one of the names the rabbis assigned to the Messiah was the leprous one. And just like lepers, he was despised, the prophet says, and we did not esteem him. Yeshua was treated by Israel's leaders and to this very day by most of our Jewish people with the kind of contempt reserved for lepers and outcasts. Yet, we're told, for the joy set before him, Yeshua willingly endured the ridicule and the brutality heaped upon him. That joy was seeing human beings forever reconciled to their Creator. And so the question for you today is, are you willing to be identified with the one whom Israel still despises? Are you willing to be an outcast along with him, to be treated like a leper, yet remain steadfastly loyal to this leper Messiah? It requires courage to be openly identified with one that is hated so much. But if you confess him before men, he will confess you before Adonai, his Father, and your reward in heaven will be great. Shabbat.